to the second half of Tee to Green on this wonderful Saturday morning in Fargo, Moorhead, right here in the mighty 790 KFGO. We are going to, I'm being honest here, I'm not even sure if this is the last golf show of the year, the last Tee to Green show, or if there's another one left. I haven't checked the schedule. As I said earlier in the program, I know that at some point here we're going to transition into outdoors talk. I think it's next week. We'll get back to you. We'll get back to you on that one. But for now, let's finish up this program talking some golf with the head golf professional at Edgewood Golf Course in North Fargo, Mr. Greg McCullough. They call him AA action mover guy these days. Are you're moving stuff, I understand. Not to get too personal here, but you're moving stuff. You've got a couple of lovely young daughters who are in the college game now.
Speaking of transitioning, we're transitioning from one house to two apartments to two different cities, so my golf game is going to suffer the next two or three days. Not that it's not suffering to begin with, but it's really going to suffer.
I had a line all set there in a tee. It's like, oh, so that's going to be different than normal. How is that going to be?
It will be no different than normal, but now I have a built-in excuse.
In all seriousness, congratulations on the kids going off to college,
by the way. Thank you. It's very exciting.
They're a couple of great kids, and they'll be fine in life. They'll be far better than you were. I didn't mean it that way. I meant they'll be...
That's not saying much.
They'll be a success in life. You know, you talk about your golf game, and Greg's a PGA professional, and you have been for how many years now?
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
27?
27 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
As well. We may have talked about this before. I don't remember. But... when some young guys get into the PGA professional game, and they're young kids, they want to be a PGA pro, they want to be around the atmosphere, they want to be involved, they want to teach, they want to do all these different things. One thing they need to be prepared for is that really, if you're doing things, you're watching over your shop, you're doing all the other stuff around the public facility or even perhaps the private facility that you're working at, you're not going to really have a lot of time, I don't think, to play a lot of golf, are you? Or are you?
Well, I mean, you have to schedule it just like you do and the people listening. If you don't schedule it, it's hard for it to happen. If you just try to wait for the day or the time to come for it to happen, sometimes it's harder. You can obviously, you know, be in charge of your own schedule a little bit, so you have to put it on your schedule. But I think part of that's changed a little. There is some mini tour events around now, and I think some of the younger people that are trying to get in the golf business before, when they would get in, they would become a golf pro, and then they think they get to play, and sometimes that wouldn't happen. But now I think a lot of times, if you look at the Dakotas Tour and Amy Anderson and what she's trying to do, I think there's some of the kids now that are actually going to play first and not getting in the golf business per se to start with, and then maybe transitioning from there if the golf doesn't work.
So back in the old days, and I'm talking the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s even, and I don't know when it changed. You would know better than I. But it used to be prestigious for clubs to have a golf professional who was playing golf, right? Because back in those days, the PGA Tour, such as it was, wasn't paying a lot of money, first of all. And so guys needed a job or two on the side to help make ends meet and put bread on the table. But especially a lot of private clubs, they would go find some big-name guy, right, and hire them as their teaching pro. And then he represented the club going around the country playing golf.
And I still think we see that for sure on the East Coast and in Florida, that area. They're still, you know, to get a job out there, you really do need to be a very good player, and that's what they look for, which is great. You know, in the Midwest, it's probably a little bit different. Although we should be good players, we are teachers of the game, we need to be good players and keep our game up. They're just, it's everything is kind of changing the fact that instead of being a teacher and a player and kind of watching the shop, now there's a lot of times where we're watching the shop and running activities and trying to make the facility successful more than maybe we were in the past. You know, we're wearing many hats, not that we haven't always wore many hats, but I think sometimes now, especially in the Midwest and obviously everywhere, there's more things that we need to do, to make the facility successful.
Florida, I understand it's a big, you know, Florida's a big golf state. It's 12 months out of the year. A lot of guys, hundreds of golf courses in Florida. I understand kind of the connection between having a great player, a named player as your pro. East Coast, is that just tradition when you get into New York and Connecticut and those type of places? Is it more of a tradition thing to have, you know, who's the guy in the Golf Channel, the Michael, loud guy. Michael Breed.
Michael Breed, yeah.
He's kind of...
Yeah, and we have Bob Ford, who's a name in our business that means everything. You know, they work their winter or summertime stuff in the Northeast and East, and then in the wintertime they go down to Florida and are at a club down there. We still see that around here a little bit. We see a little bit less of that as it goes. That is traditionally, you know, almost every private club or big name club on the East Coast will have a very good player that you know, that's how he got the job.
Oh, okay. So explain the difference, and I find this fascinating talking about other people's lines of work that I don't know about, but explain the difference, especially these days, between being a head pro at a public facility like Edgewood, like you are, and a private facility. And even there's even stratospheres in those areas. There's different public courses, there's different private courses, but is there a difference? Are there differences? What are the differences?
Well, I think it you know, you're in a private facility, you're looking at the same people or the same membership throughout the year. So, you know, your time frame is spent trying to acclimate that membership and make those members better, and you get to see them every day. At a public facility or resort facility, you see players, you know, obviously you see some players throughout the year, but you also see, you know, half of your players are probably new players that you get to rotate through every day.
Sure.
So, you know, the time factor that you get to spend with the people probably is a little bit more in a country club setting than maybe it would be in a public setting. Although we're trying to, you know, you always try to meet him and you always try to get him to come back, but it's just a time deal. It's busyness, and we call it a different kind of busy. You're trying to help out the, you know, Mrs. Jones at a private club or Mr. Jones at a private club and make sure they have a good time, and you're spending more time with them. Where a public facility, you tend to, you know, not be able to spend as much time because every 8 minutes you're trying to rotate a new group of people.
Sure.
Through the door.
And I forgot about the resort side of it. It's a whole different thing. You have a private facility,
right?
You have a municipal facility like at which you work, but then there's also the, as you said, the resort thing, where whether it's around Brainerd or Pinehurst, North Carolina, or Wildflower, whatever the case might be, that's a whole different set of circumstances. That, and in some cases, that's people coming in, you know, with a lot of money, and it's interesting. There's just different layers of your profession that I don't stop and think about.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see in a public setting, you get to see 200 different players a day. You know, as it goes through a resort setting, you get to see, you know, 200 players different a day, but you may see those 2 or 3 days in a row, and then it kind of switches out, or the mm-hmm. weekend changes, and you get a new group for 2 or 3 or 4 days. At a private facility, you're seeing those people for hopefully through the year, and the next year, and the next year, and next year. So it is a little different dynamics. The nice part about what I like about our business is every day is a little different. Sometimes I don't like that, but in reality, every day is a little bit different, which is cool.
And this is not a knock on anybody at a private facility or anything else, but it would seem to me that a private place would be the most stable, and you'd know what's coming pretty much every day, I would think. In a public facility, a municipal facility, never really know what might be coming down the pike.
Every day is a little bit different, even at a private facility, even though, you know, you get into a little bit of a routine, but it changes a little bit every day, and you know, you're not sitting at a certain spot or doing a certain thing at a certain time. So it's kind of exciting in the fact that when you go to work, you know, we're not really sure what's going to happen today, but, you know, we hope everybody has a good time.
Greg McCullough, the head golf professional at Edgewood Golf Course in North Fargo, our guest on T2 Green this morning. Going to take a break. When we return, might be the last segment of T2 Green for the year. I'm not really sure. We'll check out. I've been a little busy lately. I haven't had time to check my schedule. I think it is, but whatever. We'll talk with Greg Moore right here. I am Mike McFeely, your host, right here on KMG.